The truth is that the next three Masechtas, Bava Kama, Bava Metziah, Bava Basra, were originally one Masechta called Maseches Nezikin, Nezikin meaning damages. Later on it was split into three parts. Bava Kama means literally the first gate, Bava Metziah means the middle gate, Bava Basra means the last gate. Now Bava Kama, the main subject of Bava Kama, are the different types of damages that one might do to someone else and someone else's property. And included in this is stealing. So the last couple of Prokim also discussed the prohibition against stealing. Now when it comes to damaging another person's property, there are really four main categories, and these are called the Avos. The Avos Nezikim, like you have with Shabbos, the Avos Melachos, the 39 Avos Melachos, which are the big categories, those are the main categories, and then you have Toldos, which are the subcategories. For example, when it comes to Shabbos, shearing a sheep might be the main category, and then a Toldo of that, which literally means like a child generation, the Av like the father Melacha, a Toldo being like the child Melacha. So an example of a Toldo of shearing a sheep would be cutting other things. So a similar idea is the case when it comes to Nezikin. There are four main categories, and those are firstly a man who damages other people. That's called Odom Hamazik. And we're going to have lots of definitions now. So try as best as you can. You can use the back of the calendar or the summaries. You've got the definitions there. Before you even start the Masechta, it will be very helpful if you just learn all these definitions, and that will make the Masechta a lot easier. Either way, you'll get a hang of the definitions as we go through the Masechta. So the first category of damage is Odom Hamazik, a man who does damage himself. And the next three are going to be when a man's property, what a man owns, when that does damage, and he is chayev, he is obligated to pay for any damage which his possessions or animals do. So the next one is when his animal does damage, and that is known as shur, which means an ox. And this type of damage will take up a very large part of our masechta, and it's split into three other ones, and these are very important definitions coming up. The damage of an animal is split into keren, Shein and Regel. Firstly, Keren. Keren means, literally it means horn, and that refers to the damage done by an animal when it gores and possibly kills another animal or a person even. That's Keren. The next one is Shein, which literally means tooth, and that refers to any damage done by your animal eating someone else's property. Now that's the big category, that's part of the Av. A Toldo of Shein, a Toldo of the animal eating would be anything which the animal does, and through that damage, the animal benefits. So whereas when the animal gores, it's not necessarily benefiting. When it eats something, or if it, let's say, rubs against the wall for its own benefit, that would be part of this category of Shein, which literally means tooth and refers to eating or deriving benefit with the damage. Okay, and the third part of the damage of Shur, again, Shur is the Av, it's the main category, one of the four, and it's split into three. Keren, which we said was goring, which means hitting something else with its horns. Shein, which means tooth, which refers to the animal benefiting while damaging. And the third one is Regel, which literally means foot and refers to the damage done by an animal when it walks or tramples over something else. And really, any damage done because of the walking of an animal, even if it's not because of the trampling, let's say something gets tangled with the animal while it's walking, that would be part of this category. So again, we've had two of the Avos Nezikin. Two out of four. Number one, Odom Hamazik, a man who does damage himself. And Shur, which is when his animal does damage. And Shur, again, is split into three. Keren, which is goring. Shein, which is eating. Regel, which is walking. The third category is Bur, which means a pit. For example, if someone digs a pit in a public place, and then someone falls in there and gets hurt, that damage would come under Bur. And the Toldos, the subcategories of this Av, of this main category of Nezek, of damage, would be anything which someone puts in a public place, which someone could easily trample over and get damaged by hitting that. Okay, so again, let's go through the first three. Number one, we've had Odom Hamazik, a person who does the damage himself. Sure, when the animal does a damage, and that's split into three. Keren, goring. Shein, eating. And Regel, the animal walking. And the third category was Bur, when someone digs a pit or puts anything which someone can stumble in a public place. The fourth and final of the Avos Nezikin, of the main categories of damage, is called Eish, which means fire. And that is, let's say, someone starts a fire in his property, and the wind carries it out, and it goes and burns things in other people's property. And subcategories of this sort of damage would include anything which is carried by the wind and does damage through the use of the wind. So let's say you had a knife and the wind threw that knife somewhere, it blew it somewhere and damaged someone, that would be included in this category. So again, let's just review those four. Number one, Odom Hamazik, if the man does damage. Number two, Shur, if the animal, or it says an ox, but really it applies to any animal, if the animal does damage. And that is split into three. Number one, Keren, goring. Shein, eating. Regel, walking. The third of was Bur, if you dig a pit or put anything which can cause people to stumble in a public place. And Eish, which is when the wind blows the fire or anything else which can damage from your property into someone else's property and therefore damages someone else. So let's see the first Mishnah. Arba avos nizikin. There are four main categories of damage, and the Gemara actually has a machlokes about which one it counts here. We're going to learn a simple interpretation, which is one of the ways the Gemara explains that the four we're going to count are the four we just mentioned. Number one, hasher, which is the animal when it damages. And remember, that was split into three: keren, shein, and regel. Make sure you know these definitions by now. Keren is goring, shein is eating, regel is the animal when it walks and causes damage through that. Okay, number two, vahabur, a pit, when you dig a pit and cause damage through that. Thirdly, vahamaveh, this refers to a man doing damage. Now, interestingly, the Mishnah doesn't use the word odom. It would have been much more simple to say that this category is odom, a person who does damage. It uses a strange word of maveh, which comes from the Aramaic root of base ayin hay, which means to daven, to pray. And by using this word, the Mishnah shows that this damage only applies if a Jew does it. And therefore, if someone has a non-Jewish slave and the non-Jewish slave goes ahead and does damage, even though the non-Jewish slave is owned by the master, since it wasn't a Jew who did the damage, the master will not be obligated to pay for that damage. And we see that from the root of the word, which means to daven, which only applies to Jews. Amazing idea, really, that we're defined by the fact that we can daven to Hashem. Anyway, back to the Mishnah. The Hahever and burning, which of course refers to the fourth category of Eish, of fire, which is carried by the wind and does damage through that. Now that we've said that there are four different types of damages, and the truth is the Torah actually mentions all these four types of damages. This begs the question that why couldn't the Torah just have said, if you or anything you own does damage, you have to pay for it? Why did the Torah have to specify each type of damage, and we couldn't have just learnt all the other types from one type? So the Mishnah explains, Lo hari hasher kare hamaveh. Sher, which again refers to the damage done by an animal, is not like mother, which is the damage done by a person. Meaning, had the Torah just told us the damage about a shur, we couldn't have learned the damage which a man does from there. Because there's a stringency in shur which does not apply to the person. And that is the fact that if an animal kills someone, then its owner has to pay something called koifer, which is a certain amount of money which someone has to pay when his animal kills. But that does not apply to if the person himself did the damage. And because there's a stringency in shur, so you can't learn something which is more lenient from something which is more strict. So then you'll ask, why can't the Torah just say the damage of a person and learn shur from there? So the Mishnah says, we've got another round as well. Odom hamazik, a person who does damage, is not the same as an animal which does damage, because there's a stringency in a person as well. And that is, we'll learn in the 8th perek, that if a man does damage, he can be chayev for up to 5 different types of damage which he did, like embarrassment and pain. He has to pay for all of those as well. Whereas if one's animal does damage, you'd only have to pay for the actual damage done and not any of the embarrassment, etc. Okay, what about the other two categories of damage? So the Mishnah says, v'lo zeh v'zeh, these two types of damage, the person and the animal, sheyesh bo'em ruach chayim, they have a living spirit in them, they're alive. A person and an animal, they're alive. They're not the same, kariyo eish she'em bo ruach chayim. You can't compare those to fire, which isn't alive. And you might think that only something which is alive, and therefore they're probably more likely to do damage, let's say they get hungry, so you've got to watch out more, and therefore you can't learn Eish, the damage of fire, from those two. And finally, v'lezevozeh, all of these three, a person, an animal, and fire, to daikonelich lahazik. It's the normal way for these things to travel and do damage. They move about, so there it's more prone to damage, and therefore it's not similar to a burr. It's not similar to the damage of a burr, a pit, she'ain daikonelich lahazik. A pit doesn't walk. The pit can't travel, it stays there. And therefore you might think that only something which moves about, and therefore it's even more prone to do damage, only that the owner would be chayav for. And that's why we had to tell all these four, we had to explicitly say all these things, because one can't be learnt from the other, because there's a stringency in each one. However, the mission ends off by telling us, Hatzad hasher shebohen, the common factor in all four categories is shedakon lahazik, it's common for these things. They're able to do damage, ushmiroson alecha, and therefore the obligation to watch over them is upon you, the owner, so they don't damage, and therefore if you don't watch over them properly, and they go and damage, you'll have to pay. Finally, the mission tells us, ukshehizik, what happens if he does do damage, or he does damage through his property, through any of these means, chol hamazik, the mazik, the damager, the owner is obligated, l'shalim to pay, tashlumi nezek, payment for the damage, and the Mishnah later on discusses how exactly you measure that. But meitav ha'aretz, you have to pay it with the best quality land. Now the truth is, the Gemara explains you don't actually have to pay with land. You could pay with money or objects. The point of the Mishnah is that if you want to pay with land, you want to give him a field, then it has to be the best quality. But if you want to pay, let's say, with money, well not money, let's say you want to pay with objects, you don't have to pay the best quality object or the best quality grain, because objects have an advantage in that you can always sell objects. If you go to one town and you can't sell it, just go somewhere else, you can sell it. Land is harder to make money of. You can't just take it with you and sell it somewhere else. And therefore, if you do want to pay with land, you can, but you'll have to pay with the best quality in order to compensate for the damage. Okay, just like the first Mishnah, Mishnah Base, Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah Dalad, the last three Mishnahs of the Perek, really set down the rules for the rest of the Masechta, or at least the next few Prokim, and we're going to have lots of sort of subtitles, a bit like a contents page, and we'll come back to each case. We're going to say a few rules, a few subtitles, and then throughout the Masechta, we're going to come back to these cases. Mishnah Beis, Kol Shechavta Bishmirosei, anything which I have become obligated to watch over, meaning my possessions, my animals, etc., if it does damage, it's considered as if I've allowed that damage to take place, and therefore I am responsible to pay for that damage. So even though it's not you, let's say it's your animal who does the damage, since you need to watch over it, you are obligated to pay for it. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah comes to tell us a case where, let's say, you don't watch over it properly. For example, you give this over to a child to look after and to watch over. So a child isn't competent enough to do so, and therefore if it goes and damages, the owner, not the child, the owner will be obligated because he did not ensure that it was watched properly. What happens if I cause part of the damage? Now, the case we're talking about, the Gemara explains, we're going to learn later on that in order to be chayav for the damage of bur, for an animal falling into a pit and dying, that's only if the pit was 10 tefachim deep, because then it has the power to kill the animal. So what happens if someone digs a 9 tefachim deep pit? If an animal falls in there and is killed, he won't be chayav, at least not the full amount. Now what happens if someone else comes along and digs an extra tefach down? So now it becomes 10 tefachim deep. The halacha is that the last person who did it, the person who made it completely, the person who completed the pit to make it 10 tefachim, he is the one chayav for the damage. So I'll be obligated to pay the payment as if I caused the whole damage. Next rule, in order to be chayav for the damage, it has to be that the property which you damaged, or the animal you damaged, was nechosim she'ein bohem me'ila, possessions which don't have the halachas of me'ila. Me'ila is when someone benefits from something which is designated for the Beis HaMikdosh, and the punishment for doing so is that you have to pay the value of that thing plus a fifth to the Beis HaMikdosh, as well as bringing a korban. That's known as me'ila, which is when, again, you use something which was designated for the Beis HaMikdosh. So let's say you have an animal which was designated to be a korban. If my animal goes ahead and damages that animal, I'll be potter. And this is learned from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, if one damages a shorei ehu, the ox of his friend, which excludes the ox of Hektosh. Okay, another rule, nechosim shel bnei veris. It's got to be property belonging to a Jew. If one damages the property of a non-Jew, one is exempt, and we'll discuss that later on in the Masechta, just like all of these rules. Next, nechosim yuchodim. Now listen carefully, this one is referring to the thing, let's say the animal which actually did the damage. The animal which did the damage has to be owned by someone at the time that it did the damage. And therefore, let's say an animal which was owned, so it was hefka, it gored an animal which was owned by someone else. Now, halacha would usually be that the owner of the damaged animal could take that animal as compensation, but in this case, someone comes along and takes the hefka animal after it did the damage. It takes it and says, hey, this is mine. The Mishnah is telling us that that person will not need to give over the animal to the other owner of the damaged animal, because he didn't own the animal when he did the damage. When it did the damage, it was hefka, and here he acquired it after the damage was done, and therefore he would be able to keep the ox. Continues the Mishnah, over chol mokom, wherever the damage takes place, the owner of the animal which does the damage would be chayav, however, chutz merishus hamyucheles lamazik, except for if it took place which was owned by the owner of the animal which did the damage. Again, we've got to get these terms right. Mazik is the damager. Nizuk is the person or the thing or the animal which is damaged. Again, mazik is the one who does the damage. Nizuk is the one which is damaged. So if, let's say, my animal would go into your property, and your animal would then gore my animal, in that case, you would be potter from paying, because my animal has no right to be in your property, and your animal knows no better than to gore it, and therefore you would be potter. However, if you yourself go ahead and damage my animal, then you would be chayv, because you could have the sense just to get rid of my animal from your property, whereas your animal would just gore it, and it has the right to do that, since I have no right to be in your property. Okay, and also, Rishus HaNizik VaMazik, if the place where the damage took place was a place which was jointly owned in partnership with the person, with the Mazik and the Nizik, the person who was damaged, or whose animal was damaged, and the person whose animal did the damage, and it's talking about a place where the agreement was that their animals could go there. It wasn't set aside, let's say, for produce or something. The agreement was that they kept the animals there, and therefore part of that agreement is that if a goring does take place, the owner of the Mazik, the owner of the ox which does the damaging, will be exempt from paying, since that's part of the agreement. Okay, and the Mishnah now repeats something which we said at the end of the previous Mishnah. If the person or any of his property does damage, chova mazik, the mazik, again, that means the damager, is chayav l'shalem tashrim nezek b'meitav ha'oretz, he's obligated to pay the payment for the damage, the compensation, with the best of his land. Again, that means only if he wants to pay with land, since there's a disadvantage in paying with land in that it's harder to sell, he can't just take it with him. Therefore, if he does pay with land, he has to pay with the best quality land as the compensation. Mishnah Gimel really gives us some subtitles for the rest of the Masechta. Firstly, shum kesef. The evaluation of the damage is with money. Meaning what? Let's say, we'll give the Gemara's example. If my animal goes and damages your garment, And then a couple of days later, the animal's walking in the street, and it trips over that very same garment and is damaged. Which means both things damaged each other. So you might think that we should just say that the damages cancel each other out. So no one needs to really pay, because each one did damage to the other. So the mission tells us, no, you've got to evaluate how much damage was done in each one, and if one was done more, let's say the cow damaged the garment much more than the garment damaged the cow, so the difference in the damage would have to be paid, because we measure it exactly, not just an approximation. Mishoveka said, the value of money. This refers to a case where the mazik, the person who does the damage, dies before paying back for the damage. So the nizik, the person who was damaged, goes to the inheritors of the dead man and says, hang on, part of that inheritance should come to me. So the halacha is that he can collect the money, but only from land. He has a right to the land corresponding to the value which he is owed by that man. He can take that land. But he has no right for the money or the movable objects. So that's what the Mishnah means by the value of money. That refers specifically to land and means that the nizik can collect from the inheritance of the mazik only from land, but not from metalfin, not from movable objects. You can see, actually, it's amazing. The Mishnah only mentions a couple of words. We've got to read into it a lot. So the Mishnah now the rule with Nei Beistin. All of this, evaluating and seeing who's chayav to pay who, all of these things has to be done in front of a Beistin, with three expert dayonim, three expert judges, val pi edim, and it's got to be done by the mouth of witnesses. This specifically refers to payments which are considered fines. If it's a payment for compensation, then even if one confesses without there being witnesses, then you would still need to pay. But if it's a fine for damage which you did, then we have a rule which is moide beknas potter. If someone confesses to owing a fine, he's exempt from paying it. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. And these Eidim, b'nei chom b'nei v'ritz, they have to be free people, they have to be Jewish. Just like whenever a witness is necessary, here's no different. B'hanoshim b'chal nezik, women are included in all the laws of damage, whether they're the mazik or the nizik. And finally, v'hanizik v'hamazik b'tashlumin. We can have a case where the payment, the person who needs to pay, is both the mazik and the nizik, the person who did the damage and the person who was damaged. What would that case be? Let's say the mazik, we'll call him Reuven, kills Shimon's ox. So the halacha usually is that Reuven has to pay either half or the whole value of the dead body of that animal. So what happens if, before they go to the Beis Din, they wait a few days, and by the time they've actually gone to the Beis Din, the dead body has rotted a bit more, and it's now gone down in value. The halacha is, we judge the value of it by whatever it is when we go to Beis Din. And therefore, the nizik, the person who was damaged, would actually lose out. And that's what the Mishnah means, that the nizik will also be, in a way, paying, because he's losing out for waiting. So it's as if he's paying that bit back to the mazik, and that's why we look at it as if he is also paying for the damage, because he's being paid less. Mishnah Dalet, now we introduce the concepts of a tam and a muad. Very important concepts for the Masechta. This is coming under the category of shur, which is an animal which does damage, and specifically keren, which we said was one of the three types of shur, the three types of animal damage, and that is when an animal gores. A tam is an animal which does not gore regularly. We'll define exactly what regular is later on, but let's imagine that he's never gored before, he's gored just once before. If he now gores an animal and does damage to that animal, he will have to pay for half the value of the damaged animal. Sorry, half the value of the damage which he did to the animal. However, if this animal is a muad, which means it's a regular criminal, shall we call it, it's gored a number of times before, then the owner is obligated to watch over it more. And it's more likely it's going to damage, and therefore if it does go ahead and damage, then the mazik, damager, the owner of the damager, will have to pay the full value of the damage which he caused. Now the truth is, this doesn't just apply to keren, to goring. That's the standard case. But the mission tells us chamishol tamin. There are five cases where an animal is considered a tam, and therefore if it does damage, the owner will have to pay just half of the value of the damage. Vachamish muadin, and there are five cases where the animal is considered a muad. Firstly, the tamin habehema inam muedes. An animal is not considered a muad, meaning it's not likely or prone to do the following things, and therefore if it does these things, not having done them on a regular basis before, the owner will only have to pay half the damage. Lo ligach, when it comes to goring, it's not considered a muad. Rather, it's considered a tam, v'lo ligoif. It's not prone to push, v'lo lishech, or to bite, v'lo lirbite, not to lie down on big things and break them. It's unlikely that would happen. V'lo livoit, and not to kick. All these things are unlikely, and therefore, if the animal does this, and it hasn't done this on a regular basis before, the owner will only have to pay half of the value of the damage. Okay, what about the five muadim now? Hashein mu'edes, the damage of shein, which is the animal eating, le'echol sarayla. It's considered a muad in regards to eating that which is fit for it. Let's say the normal fruit or vegetables, or the produce which it normally eats, edible food for the animal, that's considered a mord. Horegel muedes, the damage done by the animal walking, it's already considered a mord, even if it's never done it before. Leshaba b'derechilucha, it's considered prone to break things in its path of walking. If it sees a jug on the floor, it's not going to go around it, and therefore you'd have to pay for the full amount. Veshur hamuad, and an ox which is considered a mord, and this refers to all the five cases we had for a tam, goring, pushing, etc.
If the person's been warned before that the animal cannot do this again, if it does it again, it's considered a mord. If the ox which does the damage is in the property of the nizak, he's not even allowed to be there. And we're going to see, at least according to one opinion in the next perek, since it's you're not even allowed to be there, you would have to pay for the full damage, even if he's not prone to do the damage. And finally, the ha'odom, a person is always considered a mord because he has free choice. He knows what he's doing, and therefore, if he does any damage, he's considered a mord and he'll have to pay for the full damage. Okay, the Mishnah lists a couple of more mu'odin, but the reason why they're not counted as one of the five is because these are more uncommon cases. Because the following animals don't usually live among people. Has a ave, a wolf, a hari, a lion, a hadov, a bear, a hanomer, a leopard, a bardalos, which is often translated as a hyena or a cheetah, some sort of wild animal, a hanoch and a snake, hari and mu'odin. These are always considered mu'odin because these are animals which do damage, and therefore if they're owned by someone, then the owner will have to pay for the full damage. Rabbi Yezer says, Bizman shehimene tarbus, in a situation in which these animals are domesticated, meaning they've been trained to be calm, in that case, animal, and then they're not considered prone to do damage, and therefore, unless they've done it before and are considered regulars, they'll be considered tamin. However, the hanochosh, a snake, interestingly, is always considered prone to do damage, and therefore, muad la'ilom, he's always considered a muad, even if the snake was domesticated in some way. Ask the Mishnah, ma bin tamin, what is the difference between a tam and a muad with regards to payment? Answer the Mishnah, elosha tam mishalim chatzi nezik megufay. One of the differences is, it doesn't mention all the differences, one of the differences is that the tam pays half of the value of the damage, megufay, from the body of the mazik, of the damager, meaning you would measure the nizak, the animal which was damaged, half that, and if the animal which did the damage is worth the amount you have to pay, then you pay that amount. But if, let's say, the mazik was worth even less than half of the damage done to the nizak, in that case you never pay more than the whole amount of the mazik. So for example, if the mazik was worth 10 zuz and the damage was 100 zuz, so you half that, 50 zuz, he should really have to pay 50 zuz, but he doesn't pay more than 10 zuz since his animal which did the damage was only worth 10 zuz. Okay, whereas v'hamuad, a muad, mashalim nezik sholim, he would pay the full amount of the damage, and it had to be min ha'aliyah, from the best property. When it comes to a muad, even if the mazik is worth way less than the nizak, he has to pay for the full damage, and if he pays with land, he has to use the best quality land. Okay, it was a much longer shiur than usual today, but this really sets the tone of the rest of the Masechta, and now we've introduced pretty much all of the main concepts of the Masechta, so it'll be much more easy to learn the rest of the Masechta. Try our very best to learn all those definitions, so that it's much easier to learn the rest of the Masechta.